The following message by Pastor Bob Sheridan is brought to you by the ministries of Palos Bible Church. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.
We've got a little mini-series that we're going to be doing, Thinking About God and You. The theme for the year at Palos Bible Church is? Good job. Okay? But as we think about being rooted, we recognize that there's a connection with God and ourselves, and we want to just be looking a little bit more over the next couple of weeks at some of the aspects, very practical aspects, of how that ends up fitting together regarding ourselves. Tonight, or today, actually, we're going to be dealing with the concept of trusting God. Trusting God. Oh, we know the word. We have the word down. We memorize the word. We can say the word, but living it out, that's really what it's all about. That's what we find throughout the Scriptures, not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament. How did a person come to God in the Old Testament? By faith. How does a person come to God in the New Testament? By faith. There is no difference. Yes, there are some things. Old Testament, the law, the Mosaic law. New Testament, we end up finding through Jesus Christ. But understand that coming to Him is by faith. Throughout all dispensations, all periods of time, we find this in common, that that's what God has been looking for from you. We can't earn it. We can't work for salvation. What can we do? Trust Him. To trust Him in the midst of it. And that's why getting into the Word of God and reading it is so important. Because when you read day after day after day after day about the power of God, then when we think about the concept of trusting this one who is so powerful, it becomes something that we are able to do. If He's just, you know, blindly just, you just got to trust. No, that's not who our God is. He's revealed Himself. He's made Himself manifest, using the terminology of the Scriptures, because He wants us to know Him in order that we would trust Him. Can you read that? It's Luke chapter 12. It's also repeated in Matthew. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very heads of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. In God's eyes, you are valuable. Amen. And it's so important to know that it's not just conjuring up, I think I'm something. It's recognizing God says you're something. It comes from Him, not from us. Because when we get into the whole self-worth thing, the next thing you know, what it is simply pride. Look at me. Look who I am. Listen, God gives His grace to the humble, but He resists the what? Yeah, so what do I need to do? I need to see myself as God sees me. That's what I need to do. And what we find in the Scriptures is that you are precious to God. We've got people that are out there that think, I don't have this, I can't do this, whatever it all be. Listen, don't listen to the world, listen to God. Get into the Word of God and understand what it says. And there's a valuable thing that we learn. You are precious to Him. Share this with the elderly. Share this with the children. Help them to know that they don't find their value based on what the culture says, but on what God says. It's important. It really is vital to be important. How do we get rooted? We understand truth. And it leaves us that we want to be grounded and rooted in understanding more about who He is and how we find stability in Him. There's another passage that we find. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like You in all heaven and earth. You keep Your what? Covenant. And show unfailing love to all who walk before You in wholehearted devotion. God, the God of the Bible, is a covenant God. He reveals that to us back in the Old Testament. I'm speaking now of Abraham. There was a time that God ended up putting Abraham under a trance, and he set this whole thing up. The Old Testament, they understood it. They knew it. Today, I don't think we do. But a covenant in the Old Testament, the term literally is to cut a covenant. Because what you would do is that you would take an animal and you would cut that animal in half. And you would put one half of the animal on one side of the path and the other part of the animal on the other side of the path. And then you would walk between them and essentially an agreement that you would make, this covenant you would make. You would be saying nonverbally, God, may you do to me what we did to this animal if I break my word. Is that serious? You bet it is. Covenant is not just flippantly saying, oh, sure, I'll do it. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. Wink, wink. It means what you say you do. And my God is a covenant-keeping God. Therefore, I look at the promises of God, and I know that my God stands behind his promises. That's why here at Payless Bible Church, you know, we're living in the New Testament time, and we look at the Old Testament time, and we see that there were Jewish people that were there in the Old Testament, and God made promises to them. Some of those promises have been fulfilled. Some of those promises have not yet been fulfilled. And there is a group of people that are saying, you know what? Those promises, they're ours now. And I say, uh-uh. You don't change the word of God. God made those promises to the Jews, and he is still going to fulfill his promises in the future. God's not finished with Israel yet. You hear that? We have promises that God makes to us in the New Testament, and praise God for them, but don't you go grabbing somebody else's promises. You recognize yours and realize that God is a covenant-keeping God, and he keeps his promises. You follow that? If God could take their promises and all of a sudden give them to somebody else, how about if he chose to do that with you? What would we do? And by the grace of God, we don't ever have to think about that because my God is a covenant-keeping God. He keeps his promises. The ones he made to Israel, he will fulfill in the future. And the one he makes to me, he will fulfill, and I know it. What's that do to you, huh? In the midst of the life with the struggles and the problems and everything, to know my God keeps his word. He's a covenant-keeping God. And as a result of that, it leads us to be able to trust him and to put faith in what he says and who he is. It's vital. It's what it's all about. That's why I'm covering it today. I'm thinking of Isaiah 41. Fear not. By the way, I know you've heard this. How many times is fear not in the Bible? A lot, did somebody say. Over 365 times. Literally, there's one for every day of the year. Fear not. Why does he say fear not? Yeah, you guys, okay. Because that's who we are, you know? All we like sheep have gone astray. We need the good shepherd. Because just like sheep, we're timid and it's easy for us to get anxious. Come on, you guys, remember those masks? If you came in here with one, you pull it right back off, okay? Because that's not how we do things here. We pull the masks off and we're honest with each other and ourselves. And yeah, I can get anxious easy, can't I? And therefore, God says, fear not. Well, on what basis fear not? For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's way back. 700 years before Christ ever came to earth. Yes, we find in the book of Hebrews that we find again, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we get it in the Old Testament. You get it again in the New Testament. Why? Because God keeps his promises. What he says, he will do. Today is a day to be built up and to be strengthened. If you're here and you've never trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, can I tell you, I'm covering promises in the book to those who do trust him as personal Savior. I'm not saying everybody's in. I'm saying there's something God is looking for, and that is us realizing our utter need and crying out to him, recognizing that Jesus came to earth and he died on that cross for my sin and for yours. And when we come to understand that, we come to this realization, what can I do? And it's not a series of to-dos that you've got to go through. It's not a series of religious hoops that you must jump through. It is faith in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the end, that's only the beginning. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about promises that you and I can be able to have as we think about our lives and what God wants us to be able to do. Go with me to the book of Romans, would you please? The very first chapter of Romans. This actually was mentioned in the adult Sunday school time. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 16. Paul is writing to a place he has never been. He's not gone to Rome yet, but he's got a burden for him. There in the capital city of the land in which he is in, Rome was essentially the empire, and he wanted to go there. He says, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also for the Greek or the Gentile. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written," what? "The just shall live by faith." You know where we first find that? Habakkuk. That's Old Testament, by the way. But we find that in Romans, and we find that in Galatians, and we find that in Hebrews. You know why? Because the just shall live by faith. It's reiterated in numerous places because it really is a seminal statement to be expressing and understanding who we are to be. What's God looking for from us? The just shall live by faith. So we need to delve into this a little deeper and understand it and see that we are not simply saying, you know, I know that verse. I could quote that verse. It's not the issue. It's good that you can memorize it, but it's even better that you end up recognizing it and practicing it. The just shall live by faith. God is looking for us to be depending upon him and trusting him and believing his word in the midst of all the things that are going on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, this is a passage that comes up at funerals. It does, you know, because it ends up saying in verse 1 of chapter 5, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed," what's he talking about? He's talking about your body. It's temporary. Hear this. If there's something that we need to understand about our body, it's that it changes. Wasn't sure how many would amen. I do hear them murmuring in the background. The fact is, we're here for a temporary period of time. You know, and you just... Recently, I ended up making that trip backpacking with my son and grandson in Montana, and I said, it's the hardest thing I ever went through in my life. Not the whole trip. The trip was majestic and beautiful. It's that hike uphill with the backpack on. You know what I'm talking about? And somebody said, yeah, but in basic training, you had a backpack. That was a couple of years ago, you know? And the body changes. Change is something that all of us need to get used to. This body is temporary. I mean, it's all you know, but it's temporary. Paul uses these terms, and they're worth holding on to. He says, this earthly house, this tent, a sense of temporary. You put a tent up, you expect that one day you're going to take it down. It's temporary. If it's destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation that is from heaven. Paul was asked, would you rather be here with us or be there in heaven? And he responds and goes, I love you, but I'm paraphrasing Paul. You understand that. But he said, it is needful for the present time that I be here with you. And that's his commitment. And that ought to be our commitment, that we are willing to be faithful where he has us as long as he has us. But it's temporary. And so Paul's teaching about that truth. And he ends up going on and saying, verse 6, for we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we what? Walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, let's finish it up. We are confident, yes, well-pleasing, rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's why it comes up in funerals, is that we want to give hope to the loved ones and remind them that the moment that that loved one who knew Christ took their last breath, they were immediately in the presence of God. Is that important? And we trust, we put our faith in what God says. That's God's desire, is that we would be trusting him in life and literally, as a result of that, trusting him in death. Hey, I got a question for you. In James goes ahead and talks about faith and talks about works, and he makes a statement that faith without works is dead. How do we understand that? What does that mean? I want to help you to just come to grips with it today as we think about saving faith. I can say I have faith. That doesn't mean I do. Saving faith has a component to it where you are willing to respond as the result of what you believe. You're going to do something about it. It's not that doing is the saving. It's that true faith has to do with a willingness to be who he wants me to be, to do what he wants me to do. The old illustration I've given over the years, you guys are probably tired of it, is that if I just got the news, somebody just told me that there is something going to crash into this building, and in 30 seconds, this whole roof is going down, how do you know if people believe it? Can you see somebody sitting in the chair going, I believe it. Then get up and do something about it. If you don't care about saving yourself, save the person next to you. But if you really believe it, if you believe, you will respond. Does that make sense? So what was going on in the early church is a lot of lip service. A lot of people saying they believe. God knows your heart and my heart. Hear this. True faith saves. But true faith ends up being evidence because it does something about it. There is an obedience factor, a conviction factor, a trust factor. I end up doing something as a result of what he says. I'm in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sure you see that right there. Without faith, it is possible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Biblical faith leads to action. It's important we understand that because we're looking to be really having our roots be strong and built and stable. And I need you to understand what the word faith means. I'm not playing games with words. I'm just trying to make it clear because it seems there's confusion because we're living in a time in which there are a lot of people, and maybe they'll even come on a Sunday or on a Saturday, and they go to a CHURCH, and they walk back out of the building, and for the rest of the week, you would never believe that they had actually been in church. because there's nothing in their lives that evidences what they say they believe. Genuine faith, saving faith, is not works, but it's faith that leads to works. You got that? And I'm not trying to get legalistic. Let's be clear here. I'm talking about biblical faith. James took on people that had their lip service, you know, their gums are smacking and off they're going. And, oh, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. How many times do you have to say it before it really means something? How about if you say it one time and you do something about it? You follow that? Is the Lord willing to love us no matter what? The answer is yes. The issue is not him, it's us. Are we willing to love him enough to do something about it? And we love him because he first loved us. But God's call upon each of us is that truth. Go with me quickly to Hebrews chapter 11 if you're not already there. Some of you smart ones might have already assumed he's not going to just look at that verse. I know he's not going to just look at that verse. Hebrews chapter 11. The Faith Hall of Fame. Name after name after name after name. Men, women, some that had miraculous things that happened as the result of their faith. Some who died as the result of their faith. But all of them put together have one thing in common. The verbs describing them are all action verbs. By faith, they did something. Their faith caused them to say, to do, to go. And one after another, we find this list of all of that being able to go on. Whether it's up in the beginning, verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Well, and by the way, that more excellent sacrifice, did it cost more? Is that what we're to believe? That the animal cost more than the vegetables that Cain gave? Is that what it was? Was it a money thing? Is that what it is? No. What made it a more excellent sacrifice? And in the same book of Hebrews, if we went back to chapter 9, verse 22, we would find that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So the excellent, more excellent sacrifice was being able to recognize your need. I just don't come to you with something I got. Here, you have some of it. I recognize that what I deserve would be your judgment. And by faith, I end up sacrificing this animal, and it reminds me of my sin and the blood, the life poured out in that animal. That's what I deserved. Do you see that? Understand that faith caused him to follow and obey. Enoch, Noah, verse 7, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Do you know what everybody in the neighborhood did, don't you? Yeah, they ridiculed him. That's Noah the nut. But he followed and obeyed what God asked him to do. What is faith? What is trusting him? It's putting your eyes on him and what he wants you to do rather than putting your eyes on everybody else and going along with whatever the majority says. You know what I'm talking about? I shared with you, sadly, some pictures of a night in Germany in 1938. Kristallnacht. Do you know what everybody did? Nothing. I'm telling you that in the time that was there, everybody looked around, and if you're not doing anything, I'm not doing anything, and no one did anything. God has a call on those that would trust him. You say, well, what is it? No. It's not that you get an understanding of the call and they say, okay, I'll do it, or I'm not going to do it. Are you willing to go where he wants you to go and do what he wants you to do. Are we too late in our time here on earth to find a group of people that are willing to say, God, I am yours. I will obey. I will respond. Make it clear what your will is, but whatever your will is, I will do it. Is that too old school for this modern generation? In 2019, can we stand up and say, God, I am willing to follow you by faith? Huh? I'll tell you what, that's a question that deserves an answer from every single one of us that's here in this room. Chapter 11 goes through a list of names, and whether it's Abraham or Sarah or Isaac or Jacob, and the list goes on, Moses, Joseph. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Those walls were huge. There's no way. Oh, excuse me. There is one way. My God is bigger than the walls of Jericho. I'm telling you, the faith that they had when those walls went down, what happened to that faith? Huh? It grew. It grew. And you know what? Faith grows when it's used. I'm sure you've heard this illustration, but around for a long time, faith is like a muscle. If you do nothing with it, it atrophies. If you use it, it not only stays where it's usable, but it can be developed and strengthened. And that's exactly what God is looking to do with your faith. If God told you everything that was going to happen for the rest of your life right now and how it's going to turn out, seemingly there's nothing to even be concerned about, right? But God is asking us here this prayer from his time with his disciples when they asked him to pray. Give us this day our... What's God looking to build? What's God looking to do with these roots in us? Causing us to be willing to trust him, to depend upon him, to follow him by faith daily. And he lifts up this huge group of names. And then he ends up saying, for it's finished. He says, verse 39, all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be perfect apart from us. God had a purpose for you, for us. And that's why he says in chapter 12, verse 1, he says this, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are the witnesses? Everybody out of chapter 11. And listen closely, because I've heard messages, and I don't know, maybe at the beginning of my ministry I said it, but they're not sitting around in chairs just watching you. It's not that they're the spectators. It's that they're the examples. They walked it. They lived it. Stand up, and you live it. And you walk it. They did it. So don't tell me it can't be done. They did it. They trusted him. And God points them out through the writer of the book of Hebrews to be able to make us aware of it. And what's the truth that we need to know? We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. It can happen. You and I get filled with stuff. And then we need more room because we got all this stuff. And then we get really anxious because somebody else wants my stuff. And God's word is, you know what? Lay aside every weight. Don't get so embroiled with compiling stuff that you miss your God-given purpose as to why you're here on earth. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Come on now. Looking unto Jesus, the author and that's faith. Do you hear me? Recognizing he didn't just start it. I'm telling you that he's going to see us complete it. Thank you, God, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. It's going to go on in the midst of chapter 12. But do you get it? God's call upon us is that we would live by faith and trust him in the midst of the circumstances. Not wait till the circumstances change, but trust him right there in the midst of the circumstances. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it? It's the biggest word on the sheet, right? You just can't miss it. Our faith. That's what it's all about. God is looking to use you. Oh, you can't use me. Look, he delights in being able to use people who think they can't be used, because now the glory is going to go to him. You're not going to say, look at me. Wow, God's using me. I got problems with that person. Who does God want to use? Think about it. Wow. And everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. God is not talking about in the Word of God giving us coping skills to deal with this and with this and with this. Oh, I just want to go to bed. God gives us victory through Jesus Christ. Stand up. No, not now. But you all understand what I'm saying? It's time to get off of the bench and get in the game. You guys, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 will always be close to my heart. Not because it was one of the earliest verses that I memorized and learned, but because I went through a time in my life, and by the way, this is not singular, this is just one instance in which this passage literally impacted my life. I'd been to a vacation Bible school. I was a baby believer, and I'm walking down the street with my Bible, and my dad was there on the porch. You know, this is back in those days where people sat on the porch, you know, and he said, what's that on your arm? I said, a Bible. You've been to that church again, haven't you? I had nothing to be ashamed of. I had just been excited by learning the Word of God in the midst of that time. I was so pumped. I said, yeah, that's where I was. He said to me, you go back to that church, don't bother coming home. What do I do? What do you do? What do you do? And if anybody pontificates, they know how this is going to go. I got news for you. You don't. But I went in the house, and I opened up my Bible, and I went to this passage which I had been taught during that last week, and I read it. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And just to make sure, and lean not on what? Instead, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but I will not deny you. Wherever it leads me, I will not deny you. You sent your son for me, and I want to live for you. This is still a teenage boy who doesn't have any idea what that fully means, but I meant it. That next week, draft numbers came out, and out of 365, I hit a number 6. I was going in the military. I have a twin brother who went, oh, man, can you believe that? I thought it all through. My family that I grew up with was patriotic. I could go. I would be able to be learning and growing. I would not be getting in my dad's face or having him get in my face, but I was not denying him. Wow, God. You did it. And my life has been a series of things that have gone on where I tell you, God did it. What does he call us to? Trusting him. Not lip service. Trusting him. Does that mean we're perfect? Far from it. Needing to come before him more often than we're comfortable getting things straight. But followers of our God, as long as we have life to live. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to understand your word and recognize that it's not just a matter of saying things in front of other people. Oh, Lord, help us. We know that there's a proper time that we stand up and that we do share our testimony and not be ashamed of you. But God, it's not about others. It's about you. And I pray that you'd help us here in this room to understand that which we've just touched the surface of, but your call upon your people is that we would live by faith. Help us find victory. Genuine, real, God-honoring victory as we trust you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bob Sheridan. Pastor Bob Sheridan and Palos Bible Church reserve all copyright protections under applicable law. For more information, please visit PalosBibleChurch.com.